Amen. Boy, a lot of people sick. People told me can't come, they're sick. You know, I'm going to be bad for 1 minute, okay? I've been up here sick. And I said, I'll put a bucket here if I have to. But in the name of Jesus, I have to be really, really out of it. But I thank you so much for coming to church. You got to think of church as the emergency room, or one of those emergency medical centers, that when you're sick, this is where you want to come. You know, the people who are sick came to Jesus and he healed them. We have seen incredible healings, and a lot of times we don't see them because people who are sick don't come for healing. I mean, you could come be prayed for, and if you don't feel that well, then go home. But man, this is a place to come and be healed. Amen? Put your hands out to me as we agree in prayer. Father, I believe in the name of Jesus that every word that I speak, as I prayed this morning and last night, Lord, don't let it be me. I'm nothing more than a vessel, Lord. I'm nothing but a loudspeaker. You're the one that's speaking through my lips. And so, Holy Spirit, you're going to touch the hearts and lives of people. I pray for salvations, for deliverances, for healings, and especially, Lord, my topic today, peace on your people this holiday season and forever. Lord, use me. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. I give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We've been talking about the attributes or those things that we should be sensing or feeling during the Christmas season. And so we have, so far we have talked about joy and we talked about hope. You can't have hope without joy. And you can't have joy without hope. And I believe that they are the two of the very important things that we talk about at the Christmas season. Normally, we have our Advent candle up here. We light the candle, which represents four of those attributes. So this week, this year, we decided to kind of change things up a little bit. But we're going to talk about all four. I believe that if you're a believer and you read the word, that you have found and understand the promises of what we believe in Psalm 103. Listen, this is a word of God to us through the prophet. I believe it was David who said this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in within me. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Right? Say benefits. See, I was in sales. You sell benefits, not features. A benefit is something that's going to help you. And so when he says, he loads us daily with benefits, the word of God says. He forgives all our iniquities. Say that. All of them. He heals all our diseases. Say that. And then it says he redeems our life from destruction. It says he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. It says in the word of God that he satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. When I spoke of joy and hope over the last couple of weeks, it's something we should experience as Christians all the time. And I told you that we should not be dependent. Joy and hope is not dependent on the external circumstances. I should have joy and hope. And if you understand the joy and hope of the Bible, it's not dependent upon what's going on around us. Oh, should I be dancing around happy when I'm going through something or I lost a loved one? Of course, no. But there's something down deep inside, that joy and that hope that sustains you. And the Bible's pretty clear in John 16, in verse 33, that says this. This is Jesus speaking. Who's saying this? How many love Jesus? How many believe what Jesus says? Then you need to stop asking, why are these things happening in my life? Why are things happening in this world? Jesus said in John 16, 33, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, in this life, we're going to have experiences of tribulation and tests and trials. However, remember John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that you might, everybody say might, it's conditional, that you might have life and life more abundantly. And that life is a Zoe kind of life, the God kind of life on this earth. Not freedom from things that come against us, but in the midst of that, we can still have hope and we can still have joy. Now, whether you experience hope or joy is dependent upon which you focus upon. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Have you ever done that? Try to figure it out. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. And it says, then he will direct your steps. So obedience to that scripture is going to require you to trust God. And it's going to require you to deny your flesh. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, I can't have fun, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. I'm going to deny my flesh. Now, when I'm talking about denying your flesh, I'm talking about what your mind is telling you when you're going through hell on this earth. Oh, where the heck is God? Why is this happening to me? I don't understand this. You know, he's a bad person. They're being blessed. And you're going on and on. You're leaning on your own understanding. God said, don't do that. So it's going to require trust in God, and it's going to require you to deny your flesh, especially that thinking, and a total obedience to what God's word says. Now, it's the same with the next attitude besides joy and hope that we're going to highlight today. And today we're going to celebrate one of the most sought after and coveted areas, and it's the word peace. Everybody say peace. How many could use a little more peace in your life? Peace is defined by the Webster's Dictionary as the absence of war. It's defined as law and order. It's defined as harmony and concord, serenity, calm, and peace. Now, isn't that incredibly opposite to what's happening in the world today? It just shows you how the enemy operates. He wants war. He doesn't want you to be at harmony or concord. He doesn't want you to have serenity. He doesn't want you to have peace. He's trying to steal that from you, yet God says, that's what I've given to you. You say, well, if peace means freedom from war, there are more wars and rumors of wars going on the earth today than ever been before. You know how many wars are going on in Africa alone? How many wars are going on in rebellious areas of nations are fighting against each other? Even in our own nation, there's a little war going on here. Who doesn't like this? Who doesn't like this? There used to be a respect for the Oval Office. There used to be a respect for law and order. And that doesn't seem to be there any today. He said, well, should I be upset because there's so much war and rumors of war? No. Jesus speaks of this in Matthew 24 and verse 6. Let me read this to you. Well, let me start with verse 4. And Jesus answered and said, and take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Now, honestly, we've been troubled by what we've been hearing right in the world, right? You got some maniac over in North Korea that hopes to point a missile at you guys. Should we be worried about that? Just pray about it. But don't be worried about it. God will protect you. And it says here, you're going to hear wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. Jesus said this, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not near. Think about it. The end isn't near yet. We hear all this stuff, and the end is not here yet. This was Jesus' prophetic word to us concerning the last days. Say this, I'm not supposed to worry. Say this, God's in control. Peace is also defined as law and order. Wow. Law and order, what's that? Again, in our world, this is the opposite. Without law and order, there's absolute anarchy. It's crazy. Now, you guys all obey law and order. How do I know that? Because hopefully you have not gone through a red light lately. You know why there's a red light at the end of that street? It's so you don't get killed. That's called order. And so they make a law so there's order. And yet we live in a world that's without law and order. There's a lot of lawlessness. There's a lot of disorder. Yet the Bible's pretty clear that in the end times, there's going to be a lack of law and order. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Wow, that's true. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. That's disorder. That's no law. And God has made sure that we can have peace of mind despite what is occurring all around us because he has warned us about these times. Say this, God is in control. Now, there is a reason why Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I've told you over and over again, all at the same time, there are three kingdoms taking place. There's a kingdom of darkness. There's devils. There's evil things. There's a lot of bad stuff going on around us. There's people that just follow the kingdom of darkness. That's murder, theft, anger, rape, whatever. It's all this horrible stuff that takes place. That's the kingdom of darkness. And then there's the kingdom of man. We know it all. Who needs God? Man tries to reason without God, and it doesn't work. But then you got the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. Once you are born again, the kingdom of God should be the priority in your life. Try to live that kingdom. Try to live in that realm and not the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of man. Because once you are born again, we are to seek the kingdom of God. God's realm, which consists of a different way of thinking, a different way of speaking, and a different way of acting. Jesus came on this earth, and I'm on this earth, and I hope every preacher's on this earth, to teach you the kingdom principles, how to live God's way and not the darkness way and not man's way. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, I can't do this. This is the kingdom of God. I can't do that. I can't do this, and I can't have fun. No. There are a lot of man-made rules. There's a lot of rules in the Bible that are there to protect you. But the kingdom of God is thinking differently, speaking differently, and acting differently. And Jesus taught us the kingdom principles, because every time you open your Bible, Jesus is teaching you kingdom principles. And he always uses this phrase, the kingdom of God is likened unto. And that's how we're to adapt our ways to live according to God's ways. In God's kingdom, there's law and order. Amen. I want to live in God's kingdom. And it will produce peace in your life on this earth if you learn to operate in the kingdom of God. You can't think the way you used to think. You can't speak the way you used to speak. And you can't live the way you used to live because you're living in the kingdom of God. I shared something, I don't know if it was Wednesday or last Sunday, that sometimes when I get all disheveled and shaken up and things are going crazy in my life, whatever, I just need to walk outside, especially at night. And you look up and you see the moon. It's been there since day one of creation. It's the same moon Abraham saw. It's the same moon Julius Caesar saw. It's the same moon Jesus saw. God has things in order. There is stability all around us. Maybe not in the earth, maybe not in the kingdom of darkness, and maybe not in the kingdom of man, but we need to realize there's something much bigger going on than what you can feel, see, or hear every single day of your life. You need to stop and say, there's something bigger going on. Lord, help me to live in that realm. Amen. So God's ways are higher than the laws of man and higher than the kingdoms of darkness. Remember what Jesus taught us in Matthew 16:19? Matthew 16:19, Jesus taught us a kingdom principle. What's this? He's not just talking to Peter. He's talking to every believer. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus wouldn't tell you to seek first the kingdom of heaven and not have a key to get there or understand it. Amen? Behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's the power and the authority to bind and loose on this earth, just like Jesus did. The key is the word of God. And you can bind and loose. So what's that mean? We can bring things in our lives that are in disorder and that are lawfully occurring in my life into order and into the laws according to God's law. Boy, that's a weak amen. I can bring disorder in my life. I can bring unlawful situations in my life into order and into being lawful according to God. Sickness, disease, poverty, worry, fear, name it. That's the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus said, what is unlawful in heaven, what is out of order on this earth, what is unlawful on this earth, what's in disorder on this earth, if you want it to be, you can bind that sucker, and it takes time, it takes practice, and it takes faith. You can bring into order, and you can bring it into the law according to the word of God. If it ain't in heaven, it shouldn't be in your life. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to be attacked with it. But you have to learn to say, wait a minute, this is the law. This is the Word of God. If my Lord and Savior came to this earth, according to Isaiah, and took upon himself my punishment and bore my sickness and my diseases, what the heck am I doing with them? It's unlawful. The enemy's breaking the law. After service said, I'm going to hand you out little sheriff badges and remind you that you are to bring order and law of God upon this earth. You guys pray it all the time, I think. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, God's will, without your help, can still be done. But I'll tell you what, God, eventually this earth will burn up. But while I'm on this earth, and while you're on this earth, in my little realm, right? Remember the prime directive that I've always taught you back in, I believe it's Genesis 1:28? You are to replenish. You are to have dominion. You are to restore everything on earth. Now, the only earth I really have more control over than ever over you is me. So I have to speak to this lump of dirt. Forgive me, Lord, I know you created something beautiful and all that, but this, I'm made of earth. And whatso you shall bind on earth, having already, this is a translation actually, having already been bound in heaven, shall be bound. Jesus was the Son of God. No, he was the Son of Man, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be just like you and me. And when he said something to the enemy listened. Why? Because Jesus knew beyond any shadow of a doubt, when he spoke God's word, it shall be. Isaiah 55:11. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God will not return void, but will accomplish that which God pleases and prosper in the thing where God sent it. All you're doing is enforcing what God has asked you to do. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, he said, you stay here till I make your enemies your footstool. Well, who's doing that? I don't know about you. I want to be in God's army. And you're being trained for that right now. If you don't know how to use the sword of the Spirit on this earth, we're supposed to be all coming back. I've asked the Lord why on horses. You guys like horses, praise God. Me and horses have not gotten along, even though I'm part Cossack. We haven't gotten along real well. Right? And same thing with Judy. Horse bit Judy when she was little. She don't like horses either. Oh, I know. I have horses by me. I go out and I pet them and everything. And I just tell them, I really don't like you, but I'm going to pet you. And they say, where's my carrot? No, it's so good. Anyway. But we're going to come back with the Lord. And if you don't know how to fight, you're probably going to be back on the sidelines, watching those of us who have learned to speak and use the sword of the Holy Spirit. Law and order. I want law and order in my life. I don't care what's going around me, but in my life, there will be law and there will be order according to the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. How do you know what God's law is and what he considers order if you don't read the book? Every time you see the word law of the Lord, this is the law of the Lord, the word of God. Amen? Amen. So he tells us that we can bind and loose. Now, we can bring, again, sickness, disease, poverty, worry, fear, etc., things that operate in this kingdom according in obedience to God's kingdom. That doesn't happen overnight. You say, I'm just going to start doing this today. No, this is going to take heart faith, which I'll talk about in a minute. Now, peace is also harmony and concord, whatever you want to call it. Harmony and concord do not exist in this world. Do you know that? It exists in nature. We screw it up. Harmony exists in the kingdom of God. In fact, to live in disharmony and discord causes strife, division, and destruction in your life. You know why mental disease is so rampant today? It's because people are in discord. You were created to be one way, and we're fighting that by living man's way, by living evil ways, and it's in discord. We call that in the medical field strife. And I learned that when I was in the medical field, that strife was the cause or the aggravator of over 90% of diseases on this earth. Because you are not at peace when you're sick. And your body's trying like crazy to fight that thing in you, and you are in disorder. You're in strife. Your body's trying to fight something when we're in strife, when we're upset, when we have tension in our life because we're sick. The chastisement for my peace was upon Jesus in Isaiah. The chastisement for my peace, the punishment necessary for my peace, was upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. We are healed. Now, Matthew 12, 25 explains this very, very important thing. Matthew 12, 25, Jesus speaking once again. How many believe what Jesus says? Listen to this. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, and every city or house, and by the way, you're the house, divided against itself shall not stand. Well, I'm not divided against myself. Yes, you are. How many believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You've received him as Lord and Savior. You're Christians. There's the devil's way, man's way, and God's way. Before Jesus became the Lord of your life, you operated by man's thinking. And now we're told to operate by God's thinking. So what happens is people who are not in harmony with God and his ways are divided within themselves. There's nothing worse than what I call a half-baked Christian. That's somebody who comes to church, hears what I or somebody else is preaching, they start reading the Bible, and so they want to be Christians. So they got one foot in the world, one foot in the Bible, and one foot in the kingdom of God, one foot, and they're divided. And you want to talk about strife and miserable people. I had a lot of relatives like that. Miserable Christians. Because you're not totally sold out to the things of God, which brings joy and brings hope and brings peace. We were created to be in harmony with God, at peace with our Creator. And so many mental and physical disorders are the result of people who are divided against themselves. That's why Christians sometimes get sick. Not everybody, we get attacked. But you're divided within yourself. You know how many people woke up today and had to fight the urge to go to church and they stayed home? Because the Spirit of God in you is crying, Abba, Father. Don't make the mistake I made. I can preach God right. I can worship God right here in my bed. I'll watch so-and-so on TV. I'll go fishing, and I can worship God in the cathedral of his woods. There's just one problem. It's all about you. See, when you come to church, you've got to be around people that are not like you. And they're going to have needs. Or you may have a need. And people are going to come here together. Listen, man, don't miss Vision Sunday because, man, the Lord's been talking to me about that. Unity, family, coming together. There's a reason for that. And as the days get worse and worse, church is going to be the only place where you're going to come together and you're going to get help. And you're going to be built up and you're going to be sold out to God. So when a person receives Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, you know what results? Chaos. And chaos is good. What do you mean? At first, there's feelings of relief and peace. But as you read the Word of God and hear the Word of God, you realize, I can't be the way I used to be. I can't be this way anymore. Oh, I hate that person at work. Or I hate this family member. And you read in the Word of God that we can't offer our gift of God without coming before the altar. We have to go to those to whom we've offended or even offended us and try to make peace. Say, I'm a peacemaker. Say, I'm a peacemaker. And I'm not talking about that weapon you carry. This is my peacemaker. No. You're at chaos, but that's good. Romans 12, 1 and 2, which I have not quoted in a long time. My brethren, Paul says to the Roman church, my brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living. Do you understand? We don't understand what sacrifice is. Sacrifice is when you do something for someone else and it costs you something. Tithing is a sacrifice. Offerings are a sacrifice. Going to church is a sacrifice. Praying for people is a sacrifice. Reading the Word of God is a sacrifice because I could be doing something else that I enjoy. Sacrifice costs me something. Say that. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice and be not conformed to this world, its ways of thinking and living and speaking, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. To what? This. There's a reason we send our children to school for 12 years and they go to college for more years, because they're being transformed. They're being transformed into the trade or the profession that they want to be trained in and become. If you want to become a Christian, Christ-like, you've got to read this and see what it says so you can be transformed. You're transforming your mind. Every time you read the word, you're transforming your mind. Why? So we may know. As we're transforming our mind, I'll know what's the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. We never know what the will of God is. It's written down. We have no excuse. We have it in every translation everywhere. Transformation will be the result or cause chaos and the struggles of metamorphosis. You know what metamorphosis is? If you go out in your gardens now, if you have bushes in your yard and you look around hard enough, you're going to find a little cocoon. Cocoons. Some may be praying mantis, some may be butterfly. And if you ever seen a butterfly come out of its cocoon, it struggles. It's in chaos. It fights its way out of this cocoon. And this is what I found out, that, oh, that poor butterfly, it's a little worm and it's spun a cocoon and it's trying to get out. Let me help it out. Don't do that. Because that struggle to get out of that cocoon is building itself. And when it gets out and it's standing there, and you ever see the little butterfly as it's metamorphosizing and it's gone from a caterpillar to a butterfly, it's standing there and it's shaking. People say, man, Pastor's really shaking today. No. The butterfly's shaking and its wings are starting to sprout, and if you help it out, it will die. When a little chick is pecking through that egg, it's taking strength. It's going through a metamorphosis. It's from a little chick. It's going to grow up to be a chicken. And it's pecking through that egg, and it's taking a lot of stress. And that's what you're doing, folks. You're pecking through your eggs. You're breaking out of your cocoons. And it's uncomfortable. That's why you don't want to go to church, because Pastor Jim's going to be hitting you with the Word of God. And you're going to find out, I can't stay in this cocoon anymore. It's been comfortable. And I have to start struggling and getting out of it. But when you get out of it, hallelujah. You change. So, old ways of thinking, old ways of speaking, old ways of living got to change. And you'll find out that a lot of the changes is for good. It makes you feel good. I forgot my little thing here. I feel good. You actually feel good. Because as you read the Word of God, you realize that God's my defender. God's my protector. God's my provider. God is never going to leave me nor forsake me. When people in my life die, I realize I'm going to see them once again. I have a hope people don't have. Whew, transformation. As we change our ways, peace will result. As we live in harmony with ourselves and with God. James chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen to this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives unto all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. This is after James talks about all the stuff we're going to face in life. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from God. Listen to this. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, there's many meanings for that being double-minded or doubt. One means metariso. It means you're like a meteor, shooting all over the place. One is You're one way one day, you're one way the next. Oh, I love church. I love church. Go to church. I love the Word of God. Next day, where the heck is God? Why is this happening to me? Where are you? You're all over the place. You either believe him or you don't. That comes with time. It's okay. It comes with time. Right? We can no longer be double-minded. The true believer must be single-minded, or the Word of God says, single-eyed. Where's your focus? Unbelief, lack of faith, doubt will combat the harmony and the concord that God has for our lives here on this earth. Everybody used to love the quote this years ago. We used to call it Hagin 1123. You probably don't know who he is. Word of faith, way back when. I mean, that never went away. You either believe God or you don't. But listen to what Jesus said this. Ready? How many of you have ever had some mountains in your life? Maybe you have one right now. Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. In other words, have the faith of God, which is what? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Let me jump down. If you believe those things which you say, it shall come to pass, you'll have it. When you speak to a mountain in your life, what's a mountain? A lot of mountains we've built. Some mountains we're still building. We speak to those mountains. Mountain of fear, mountain of doubt, mountain of unbelief, mountain of lack, mountain of disease. You speak to that mountain. I spoke to it, nothing happened. I'll tell you why nothing happened. Because you forgot to read that middle part that says, and shall not doubt in his heart. His heart, not your head. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. You think because you believe in your head. Listen, heart faith is developed over time. And you've got to put the Word of God in over and over and over. Joshua's ready to go into battle. It doesn't say, train your men. He says, Joshua, I want you to meditate in the Word day and night, when the good times and the bad times. So that Word gets down inside of you. So just like, I don't want to use the example again. You can repeat commercials like that. Why? Should I do it again? The best part of waking up. Pretty soon that's going to be pretty. America runs on. What a waste of brain space. But the advertisers know if you hear something over and over again, it gets down in your gut. Can you imagine if you said within yourself, you who battle depression and fear, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You can walk around your house. You just keep saying that over and over and over. And let me tell you what's going on. It's going from here, going down to here. So when fear comes up, just like when you see the Folgers commercial and you can finish the line because you've heard it over and over again, when fear comes up, automatically out of your mouth is, no. What comes out of your mouth is, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I wonder how many people in here do that. Doubt not in your heart. Peace is also defined as having a sense of serenity, calm, and quiet. I dare you to go Christmas shopping today. Serenity, calm, and quiet. I got in line yesterday. We ran into Bob yesterday in Boscoff's, and I got in. I found a line that wasn't too big, and Judy likes these candles, so I bought two of them. And I there were two for $20, and so I'm in line, waiting. I'm patient. I get in line, and the lady goes, $44, please. And I go, whoa, $44? These are two for $20. No, they're not. Oh, yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. There's a sign over there that says two for $20. I went over there and looked at it. Just it says two for $20. She says, well, my register says. And thank God, God's good. A manager was standing right there said, oh no, they're two for 20. It took everything in me to go, nah, 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 nah. See? No. She said, I'm sorry, okay, no problem. So I wasted 20 minutes, you and I going back and forth whether that sign said what it said. Serenity. Peace. And quiet. Serenity is defined as having a clear, unclouded, undisturbed, calm life. Right. A clear, unclouded, undisturbed, calm life. Really? We live in a world of noise and things that cause irritability. And we bombard ourselves with everybody else's issues and opinions that we choose to see on social media. You are not meant to handle everybody's problems. Maybe have a select people, a group of people, and pray for them. But you don't have to know everybody's problem. I said something interesting. I don't know if it was you, Fran, over the weekend. I said, anything you can't say no to in your life is the Lord in your life. How many agree with that? Oh, well, you fell right into that trap. Anything you can't say no to in your life is a Lord in your life. How many agree with that? Half the hands went up this time. Tomorrow, or one day this week, I want you to turn your cell phones off. I'm not going to do it. But I have to set that thing aside and say, you will not run my life. You're not running my life, and neither is anybody else going to run my life. You're going to run my life. I'll just throw that out to you. So we need to make a clear-cut choice to believe the Word of God. Because the Word of God can help us have an unclouded and clear revelation of the truth of God's Word. Its promises, benefits, blessings, and our new status with God. Remember, a lot of what goes on inside of us is because we don't know where we stand with God. Okay? I'll agree that all of you today have a clear understanding with your status with God. But how many people can honestly tell me today that at one point in your life, you didn't really know where you stood with God? I mean, even after you got born again. There's a lot of you in here, you've done something wrong, and you have a hard time forgiving yourself. I'm in that place, been in that place. I know what that's like. You have to forgive yourself. But the Word of God says that God not only forgives, He forgets. You keep bringing it up, right, Jim? And He keeps going, what are you talking about? And then you're in the sin of remembering things that God doesn't remember and beating yourself up when God doesn't beat yourself. And you're almost putting yourself on the throne of judgment. And you're not allowed to be on the throne of judgment, even for yourself. So how can we be calm in today's world? Well, you can buy pills. I'm so happy. The world is so great. I'm down to one pill. Or you can have a habit that brings, whatever. I mean, there's all ways to try to calm yourself, but it doesn't really last, does it? First of all, to attain peace in our lives, we need to have and believe that God has made provision for our peace. It's a gift. Peace, hey, peace is a gift. Now you choose whether you want to receive it or not. And it's revealed in the Word of God what that gift was. And His name is Jesus, called the Prince of Peace. At His birth, the angels declared something very powerful to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same night, same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The angel of the Lord. That's another word. Well, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. I love when, well, please don't get mad at me when I said, and I know we sing it, Brian. We want to see the glory of God. If He did, we'd be cleaning up messes in this church. The glory of God is here. We want to pray for the physical manifestation. You know, a little earthquake wouldn't help. Or a loud voice, I am here. And how many people would run out? No, well, we do pray for the glory. Now, the glory of God in our day and age would be the manifestation of healing and joy and people jumping up and getting saved. You know, great things like that. And we want the glory of God. But the glory of God is also named for the Holy Spirit, which is within us, who we have and about us. All right? So nothing wrong with asking for the manifestation. But watch this. The glory of God shone around them, and the angel of the Lord said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough. We all love that word manger, but it's an animal feeding trough, okay? And suddenly there was a multitude of angels, heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace. They declared peace. Listen, when God gives his angels charge and tells them to say something, they're saying what God said, and God said, there will be peace on earth. His name is Jesus, and he hasn't gone away, which means it's still here. It's still there. Now, on Christmas morning, I hope you get what you want. But you're not going to get what you want unless you ask for it. And you're not going to know what it is till you open the gift up. So peace, you have to say to yourself, peace is present. It's a present. It's a gift. It's right here, and I want it. And you have to speak peace over yourself. Amen. So they declared that. A word peace here, get ready for this one. The word peace is a Greek word, arene. You know what it means? Prosperity. Oh, you one of those prosperity preachers? Yes, I am. I preach peace. Blessed, or how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace. That's found in the book of Romans. Thank God all of you have peace with God. Well, you don't know what I've done. You have peace with God. But you don't know what? You have peace with God. God is your Father. God is your friend. God loves you. Why? Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Peace isn't something you work up. It's not something you do. It's something you receive. His name is Jesus. When we ask people to get saved, you're receiving peace. I don't know about you guys. In this world, you want peace. You want peace. And his name is Jesus. It's interesting that John the Baptist's father, I went downstairs. Marky slipped on the ice and went down to check on her. And I said, don't be shocked because her face is painted. I'm going, what? So they're down. She's downstairs dressed as a mime. Her face is all white and she got the eyebrows on her. Because she's talking about John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, who questioned the messenger of God about him having a child. Because the guy's old, his wife's old. No way, Jose, am I going to have a child. And he said, well, you'll never speak again. He shut his mouth. Why? Because your words have power. But when Zacharias did speak, this is what he said, filled with the Holy Spirit in a prophetic declaration about your Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, Luke 1:79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, listen to this, in this life. I'll read that again. To give you light, I'm going to make it personal, to give you light that sit in darkness in the shadow of death. What does that mean? We're all afraid to die. But that fear can be removed. To guide our feet into the way of peace in this life. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our guide to helping us walk in peace in this life. Anybody know another word for the name Jesus? The Word. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. So, when you put the Word in your heart, this is your guide into peace. I can have peace because I know what this Word says. The peace that Jesus leaves us is not the peace that the world gives us or tries to give us. It is the peace of Jesus. It's different. To the believer, it's the promise of peace in this life. Say this, I can have peace in this life. Now, Jesus' peace is not the absence of war. It's not the absence of problems. It's not the absence of frightening situations or circumstances. It's not the absence of temptations, tests, trials, or persecutions. But peace. Prosperity, quietness, rest. And listen to this, to be at set with oneself, to be at set at one with oneself and with God in despite everything that's going on. You're in the middle of hell, some of you may be in a test or trial. Go outside, look at something stable. My God is stable. His word is stable. Nothing can happen to me without God's permission. I don't understand it, but I'm trusting God. The enemies of our peace are fear, doubt, and unbelief. Fear for our safety, our provision, and not knowing our future or who we are. My question to you today is, in what or whom do you believe? Who are you and why do you exist? In what or whom do you trust? In what or whom do you place your everyday life and future? The word peace is found over 480 times in the Bible. And the Bible is filled with the scriptures that promise peace to those who place their lives and their trust in their future and present in the hands of the Lord. Now, just to mention a few, and I'll go through these real quick. Psalm 29:11. The Lord will bless his people with peace. How many believe God? God's not a liar. He will bless you with peace. So peace is a blessing, a gift from God to those who place their trust and faith in God. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. So do you read the word of God on a regular basis? Do you receive what the word says, or don't you know what it says? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. I got to read these to you. They're so great. And the word does not return void. It's going in your ear. It's going down in your gut. It's going to do something to you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add unto thee. When you read the word, it's like taking, I don't know, what are some of the drugs? Prozac? I'm going to ask you what they are, and then everybody's going to turn around and look at you. I don't know what all the calming drugs are, but Valium, when you read the word of God, it's like taking that. It is. I've done it. I got upset and I started quoting or reciting the word of God. It changes your mind. It changes your heart. It changes things. Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusts in thee. When you start looking at the problem, start looking at God. Jeremiah 29, 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. John 14, 27, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. John 16, 33, that you may have peace. Romans 8, 6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. 1 Corinthians 14, 33, God is a God of peace and not of confusion. Galatians 5, 22, peace is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 22, grace be unto you and peace. It was a declaration. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. Yeah, right. Don't worry about anything. No. You forgot the rest of it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through his blood of his cross. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. You decide who rules in your heart. And I'm talking to me too. You can rehearse the problem. You ever notice that when something goes on, you just rehearse it, you play it out. You got the video playing 24/7, and you got to stop it. You got to see Jesus on that cross. You let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. I will be at peace in Jesus' name. There's so many more scriptures in the Word of God that promises peace, and most of them are conditional. We need to receive them by finding them. We need to believe them in our hearts by consistently repeating them to ourselves over and over again until they get founded in our heart. Because the problem you have is talking to you 24/7. You need to talk back. Remember the fires of adversity. Fix the Word of God into our hearts as we stand upon these promises of peace. When I worked in a lab, anybody worked in a lab, when you made a slide, you put it through the flame because it fixes, it makes that thing stick to the slide. And adversity, even though we don't like it, helps us to understand that adversity fixes the Word of God in our hearts. Because as you get through things and you find out, wow, that worked. Something going on in my body, and I've been speaking to that sucker for weeks, and one day it's gone. Because the devil said, I ain't giving up. You're going to give up. I said, I ain't giving up. And when he finds out you're sticking to your guns, he's backing off. Because the word says, resist the devil, and he will flee. So receive what the blood of Jesus has bought for you, our freedom that from everything that opposes our peace, and believe in the words of Jesus, who said, and I will read them to you, in John chapter 8 and verse 31. I'll start verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him, as many do today. But Jesus now draws a dividing line. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in verse 36, if the Son therefore has made you free, you shall be free indeed. What's it mean to continue in the word? You read it and you speak it. It's the sword. Speak it. Speak to your body, speak to the situation, speak to your mind that's going crazy. You may not understand what's going on. That's why you don't lean on your understanding. Trust that whatever happens in my life, I'm believing God for what his word says. But you know what, Lord? No matter what I go through, if I go through the fires, you will be with me. And I'll come out of this in victory in Jesus' name. So let this be a new season of peace in your life as you receive the words of truth that I've spoken to you today. Peace be unto you. It's a gift. All I can do is declare it. Whether you receive it or not is totally up to you. Amen? Say, peace is mine. Jesus died to give me his peace. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Glory to God. What a word. I'm not patting me on the back. I just say glory to God for his word. You will never have peace in your life. You will always be divided within yourself because you were created to be at one with God. And being at one with God doesn't come by chanting or you doing something on your behalf. It's believing what God has already done on your behalf. It's already done. Jesus went to a cross over 2,000 years ago and bore your sin. And Jesus was punished for your sin. Jesus was punished for you. So you could have eternal life. And all the only condition that there is that you believe in him. Do you believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for you? Then right there in your heart,